From WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, this is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
You're listening to the Chancellor's Report on WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Dave Edwards. Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, is, of course, our guest in conversation. Welcome to summertime.
Thanks, Dave. Great to be here.
You know, I was thinking back to the last time we were together on this program. You were talking about graduation, and you were talking about the regents coming to town. And I know that's a big thing to have the regents all come, and it's a good opportunity for them to hear about UWM and UWM's connections to the state. And that's probably particularly important in a budget year like this, when everybody is talking about, as state dollars are invested in different things around the state, what is the impact of those dollars? And I wanted to focus a little bit about that, because in past programs, you've talked about, you know, how the graduates of UWM and how the students of UWM impact the state. So many issues that we hear about. And I'd love to talk about that in terms of, you know, just the student body and the alumni and their connections to Wisconsin.
It's just a wonderful opportunity to be able to share with the regents, many of whom are new this year. I think we had 4 or 5 new regents, and we have that transition that occurs every year, to be able to share with them the story that you've just described in terms of the impact, the talent pipeline, the research, the way we engage in this community. And, you know, it's important as we look at what are the needs in terms of workforce shortages around nursing, or we think about STEM-related fields, the science, technology, engineering, management, healthcare more broadly, looking at on the manufacturing front and all those different areas, how we fill that talent pipeline, and then the impact of that. What does that mean? It means that we have a prosperous economy. It means that individuals have lives that are improved and income opportunities that they wouldn't have had otherwise. But overall for Wisconsin, it's just a great thing. So to be able to share that story, you know, across the University of Wisconsin system, Madison and Milwaukee host the regents annually, once a year, and then otherwise the other campuses only have the regents through anywhere between every 4 to 7 years. So mm-hmm. It's a great opportunity for us to showcase and make clear what those contributions are. The timing, of course, is very salient. With mm-hmm. any day, we'll hear where the governor is at with regard to what the legislature has forwarded to him. And we're keeping our fingers crossed, because there's a lot of important things in that budget.
We'll talk about that budget in a little while, but let's go back to some of those workforce needs. Because if UWM is one of the major suppliers of nurses in the area, which it is, does that happen just by accident? I mean, is there thought being given within the university to what are the needs and how can we fill them? Or does it just happen that you have a nursing school where you can meet those needs directly?
That's a great question. It deals with a lot of the evolution of UWM over the years. As an urban university, I think we're keenly aware of both aspects of the professional schools, as well as those that are, or more broadly, in our areas in the social sciences and humanities, liberal arts, things that are just absolutely foundational and bedrock, as well as the applied skills that are necessary. And UWM does, I believe, one of the most terrific jobs in terms of being able to combine both of those areas. That's increasingly the case as we look at the tech giants. As I work with colleagues in San Francisco, Seattle, New York, large cities where the tech giants are established, from the Googles and Apple, Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, these types of firms that increasingly look at both those skills. It's not just the technology, it's the foundation in terms of the critical thinking, communication, understanding, having a perspective on historical developments and looking at the future with better understanding. But specifically to Wisconsin, how we've evolved is, I can show you today, and we've talked about this with joint finance, we've talked about this specifically with legislators and others, in terms of what our preparation for the workforce is, with a strong rooted, you know, foundation in liberal arts and communication skills and others. And so in nursing, we have the largest program in the state. In business, largest program in the state. The only school of freshwater science in the country. A number of things that are very deliberate. We can go through a lot of the intentionality and a lot of the reasons why we established, for example, our Zilber School of Public Health. Very much applied research, but professionally oriented. So it's that type of discipline. And frankly, a lot of the faculty who have come here and said, I want to have that living, learning laboratory, whether I'm in art history, whether I'm in dance, whether I'm in any of the professional schools or otherwise, knowing that, that you have incredible amount of opportunities here in Milwaukee. But what we show is we can track across health, business, computer science, engineering, and larger science areas where about 80% of our students go into those fields. But all of them are grounded in 2 years of what we call the general education requirements. So it's that blend. But I think that's so important for not only today, but for the future, for recognizing that whatever field you're in today, in 3 or 5 years, the technology and the job requirements are going to evolve. They're going to continue to change. And so let's prepare that student for a future we can't anticipate.
Nor that they can anticipate. You know, and let's be honest, the graduating college student today will choose different careers, not to mention jobs, at various points in their lives. That's the way the world is working.
To your point, I find that there's a lot of students, when I visit with our alumni around the country and in Milwaukee, I'll ask oftentimes, what was your major? And they'll say, it's education, or it was engineering, or this. And so what are you doing today?
Yeah.
Are you using that? Are you in that? And I will say at least half the time, they're not. The degrees are not, you know, I mean, that's what sometimes is a bit of a misnomer. People think, you know, it's just for that job, and education is just for a specific job or a field. It's not. It prepares you for a lot in life. And that's I think, too often undervalued. You know, I look at my background in terms of I was pursuing an English degree. I was in business, and I was closer to getting the business degree. And so the company I was working for said, we need you to finish up. We need you to go open a new hotel. So I did. But I look at where I learned the most. I look at the skills and a lot of the things in business school, those I would have picked up or I did pick up later where, frankly, a lot of the foundational thinking, writing, to the extent I can do either, there's debate about that, it really came from the critical rigor, the challenges and the demands in that type of approach. And so absent that type of quality of education, you don't necessarily get that if it's just, you know, focused on only occupational needs. And I'm not being critical of that. There's absolutely a demand and a need for that. But higher ed is just that. It really approaches, I think, a more comprehensive educational approach.
Yeah, well, I've always maintained that. I'm certainly no expert, but I've always maintained that a good liberal arts background trains you to think. It trains you to interact with a wide variety of people in a wide variety of situations, which will serve you well in whatever field you might be interested or end up in.
I'll give you two examples. We were in New York City 2 weeks ago, and we were visiting with some alum. One of our alum, who's an Italian and history major, became the chief financial officer for Barnes & Noble. He today manages the personal wealth of the CEO of Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of where, you know, look at what that prepared him for. And so he gives a lot of credit to his education. We had a student in religious studies, comparative religious studies, graduated. And today he's the vice president of people at this small company with 260,000 employees called PricewaterhouseCoopers. and so to your point, it's that foundation in a well-rounded education that's not tied to a specific technology or area that gives that foundation. And they both look back at UWM and say, it all started there. It was that well-grounding.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we've talked about on the show before, but I think kind of fits into what you're talking about there, is the entrepreneurial training that you're affording students who come through UWM. Because that, I think, is also a piece of that, right? If you have the basic skill set to function in whatever field you end up with, if you have that kind of entrepreneurial training or spirit that's been instilled in you, that's going to serve you well.
We need that so much. And you know the numbers and you know the state ranking and, unfortunately, the larger metro area ranking. When we talk about the Kaufman Index and other indices of entrepreneurship, and I'm really delighted about how we opened on May 8th, I believe it was, we opened our Lubar Entrepreneurship Center and just had a raucous crowd. It was really neat. And we're focused, independent of the building, we've been growing since we had the Lubar gift announcement, our programs, and developing a lot of entrepreneurial work. So students say today, you know, I knew I was going to graduate with a great degree in chemistry or a great degree in history or a great name the field, but I didn't also realize that I was going to have the opportunities to gain so much more orientation, skill development, and understanding of how my aspirations to work for myself or to make a bigger difference outside of just an occupation, how much more impact I can have through entrepreneurial training. So we've got an array of programs, half a dozen different things that expose thousands of students a year to entrepreneurship. And it's just capturing, it's harnessing that spark and really providing guidance and direction, hooking students up with mentors, opportunities for business plan competitions, for really being able to do things in the social entrepreneurship and the for-profit and the nonprofit worlds, really is a great thing for the future of Milwaukee. So I think the vision of Lubars and UWM coming together to really have a hub or an ecosystem around entrepreneurial and innovative thinking is just what was needed and is needed for the future. Mm-hmm. All those companies that are big and large today started usually in the garage or smaller as these sparks of ideas.
When I think about that, I think it's great to have that kind of an opportunity for a student. And if you come from a family environment where, you know, your parents have a long history in being in white-collar jobs and entrepreneurial, it's very easy to see yourself in that role. UWM also plays another role, and it's really to provide access to people, to individuals to get a degree who maybe never thought that they could even get a degree, much less be involved in an entrepreneurial pursuit. How do you take a student like that and move them to the point where they not only succeed in college, but see themselves in those kinds of roles?
I think that's a really important nugget, if you will, one of the things that UWM does particularly well, and is part of our access mission to not only take students who have the means, students who have the third or fifth generation of college in their families, but students like where I was, where nobody in their family had gone to college and nobody had saved the money, provided the modeling, understood that you need to carve out time in your life for this. In fact, we have over 40% of our students that I describe as non-traditional. They're returning adults. They're that first-generation college student. They're individuals. Oftentimes, they're adults with children. We have a life impact program for that. So I think the key in terms of your question is how do we do it? Because I've answered the why do we do it. We're an access mission. But how we do it is through a tremendous number of faculty and staff who care. And I hear stories every single day, and it brings tears to your eyes to hear about the hardships that a lot of students face and how students have experienced faculty going out of their way, staff, to help them, to provide access to advising, to provide financial assistance, to do a number of things that students come back and say, if it hadn't been for, you know, that person or those individuals, I wouldn't be here. I had an interaction with a student this morning who talked about he'll never forget what UWM has done for him because of the opportunities with our faculty and staff. And he is going to go on and make huge differences in the lives of others. And that's what's so powerful is that ripple effect of our alumni that go out and then impact thousands and many, many other lives. And I love that about our current campaign called Made in Milwaukee, Shaping the World. And that's just what our alumni go on to do.
Mm-hmm. One of the things we talked about a program earlier this year was about the what you call the M-cubed program involving other educational institutions to make a difference and how that works. Now that that's been in place for some time, as you think about what we've just been talking about, that access mission, what has M-cubed been able to do in this role? What are some of the things that are underway?
You know, what I'm so proud of about M-cubed is today we do have demonstrated impact, and it's also got institutional transition power. What I mean by that is that we had the MPS superintendent, who we began with, Darian Driver, she moved on. Keith Posley has moved into superintendent role, and the engagement with Milwaukee Public Schools is as strong as it was with Darien, if not stronger. So we've got that kind of momentum. I think that if I leave and if Vicki Martin leaves in the future, someday we all leave, that we'll continue to have that continuity, and that's really important. In terms of the impact, I'll share with you a few quick examples based on a recent dashboard. Graduation rate of MPS has gone from 58% to today 67%, a 9% increase over the last few years. We haven't seen those types of results in terms of graduation rates in almost forever. It's just incredible how far back you have to go to see that kind of achievement. The FAFSA scores, which is the door opener, FAFSA is the financial aid form that students have to complete for eligibility for federal funding. You don't go to college without that. You don't find you go very far without that type of assistance when you talk about the needs students have today. So that's at an all-time high for the city of Milwaukee, one of the leading urban areas in the country because of that. And we can also talk about the number of students going on to post-secondary education is moving up greatly. We're not hitting all the goals we want. We're not perfect by any means. We've got much room for improvement. And that underscores the need for higher ed and K-12 to work even closer together. It takes a long time to change this, but it's really neat. The final example I'll give is a new program we started this year called the Early College Program. The Early College Program is where we had, in just its first semester alone, students from MPS attend MATC 4 days a week and UWM for 1 to 2 days a week. They picked up 10 college credits that was paid for. Mm. And in those 10 college credits, they earned a number of math, reading, and educational psych transfer courses that can transfer into any 2 or 4 year institution. So we're very careful about that. And these are students who came to our campuses, most of whom had never been on college campuses before. 32 students graduated from the program. We had a graduation ceremony, and they gave testimonials like I've not heard, students talking about, you know, how intimidated they thought they would be and how difficult and how they have confidence now. There was the story, the almost predictable story of the student who said, I could do this. You know, college is going to be nothing. High school is easy. College is going to be easy. And they got the wake-up call, and they were telling that story. And then perhaps the most poignant example was the student who talked about how growing up in Milwaukee, they didn't anticipate ever going to college. And they said, in fact, I never anticipated living to 18. And it just really brought home the challenges of life too often in Milwaukee and said, but because of this program, what I can do is boundless, where I can go. And I see that now. And now we're going to take that program and we're going to have 90 students next year and we're going to do 2 semesters. So students will have up to 19 college credits in their senior year that they can take to any college, and that is going to give them at least a semester, if not a semester and a half of college credit. And if we get this program going the way we think we can give students nearly a year of college while they're still in high school. So it's that dual enrollment. It's that type of impact that's going to save money, get more students through college, and open up careers and doors and earnings that they wouldn't have. So I think of time to graduation is also time to paycheck. And we desperately need that in this community, is to have more individuals coming from MPS and coming from disadvantaged backgrounds that can make a difference for themselves, their families, and this region.
Mm-hmm. That's an important investment in obviously in a person's life. Let's talk broadly about investments, because recently you received an impressive check from Microsoft to do some exciting things as well.
We have been so fortunate to have so many generous donors and many companies, their foundations, and leaders that recognize the partnerships and the values. Microsoft is a great partner even before this gift, in terms of bringing in individuals to conduct workshops and talk about their Azure and cloud platforms and some of their other applied technologies in some of our engineering and business areas. But this gift that we had the president, Brad Smith, of Microsoft come in and announce about 2 weeks ago was significant in two ways. Obviously, the financial impact and what this gift will be used for around our Connected Systems Institute and helping bring other companies like Rockwell, which has been our founding member, other companies that are already involved, the A. O. Smiths, the Eaton Corporations, ANSYS, and other providers. But the fast-following companies that we anticipate will be there, Johnson Controls, with their interests that are signaled. So one is the value of the financial support in terms of concrete access to more of Microsoft's technology, the way that we'll use a lot of their tools and equipment and support for faculty and staff. But the other one is what I would describe probably as reputational, mm-hmm. and how many more companies and individuals are very interested in participating because of the halo of Microsoft. They're the most valuable company in the world on a financial front. What Satya Nadella, our Panther alum, has done with his leadership is amazing, nothing short of that. And I think it comes down to his humanity, how much he cares about people. And when you talk with him and if you read anything by him or about him, that just comes through. He's just genuine, authentic, grounded, humble, amazing. And he's brought that to the company.
Yeah.
And so basking in that reflected glory. Bird.
Right. But I mean, they can invest anywhere. They can invest in any number of different institutions, and they do.
Yeah.
But the fact that they chose to invest in UWM speaks volumes.
Thank you. It does. And we have been to Seattle visiting technically Redmond area for many years, and I give them a lot of credit for their willingness, their ability to engage, and what they're doing in Wisconsin. And just as a quick example, we have 51 high schools in the state that are involved with their TEALS program that has computer science and technology training programs in high schools. We're the second largest state in the country behind Washington State for Microsoft to make those kinds of investments. So they clearly see the value and the need for continued work and partnership with us. And we look forward to expanding, working with our colleagues across the state.
Mm-hmm. It strikes me that, first of all, as we record this, the governor has not done anything with the budget yet. And so there's some things that we know, some things we don't know, I guess. But when you think about the dollars that are being invested by the state, you quickly see when you talk about some of these other things, including the investment by Microsoft, you see how sort of the public dollars are being leveraged. And that feels new. And I'm sure that's something that's discussed when the legislature reviews the region's proposal too.
I think that's a key point. And we're going to increasingly see that as healthy as this state budget is proposed to be. And, you know, we had our last state budget that was better than many before it. We still have a lot of room to make up, but the future is about these partnerships. The future is about this leveraging of public and private dollars. The gift that you mentioned a moment ago, that gift is actually combined with other corporate gifts, personal pledges, as well as state funding through WEDC for helping develop the Connected Systems Institute. So it's this fusion. It's a melting pot of a lot of mm-hmm. different sources of funds. And it's just like our state budget on the operating side. It has come down, and it has in other states as well. I read today about a state, Oregon, where their legislature is reviewing proposed tuition increases ranging from 8% to 11%. Mm. We see in other states where they're not going along with this, they're cutting the budgets, and some others where they're growing the budget. So it's really interesting. Illinois and Washington State dramatically increasing their investments in higher ed. Other states like Alaska cutting. You know, so it's just all over the map. But the constant is partnerships are what we can control, because if we give value, then they're going to see that, and there's more likely that combined effort. And we'll stay true to our academic intentions. We'll stay true to our mission around providing that liberal arts core as an important foundation for all of our degrees. So that's something that we've been here a long time. We're going to be here a long time. Our form will change. The world is changing, so we're going to continue to adapt.
Right. So we're just about out of time. Are you having time to enjoy your summer now that we finally have some nice weather?
I joked before, you know, everybody else seems like their summer starts about a month before ours, because we get to host the Regents meeting, but it also means a lot of work for the preparation. But biking has been great. Cooking outdoors, I've grilled the last couple of nights. Had some new recipes, Dave, I got to tell you about. Did a marinade with 7-Up kind of Sprite 7-Up, either one you want, with seasoned rice vinegar and onions, shiitake mushrooms, soy sauce, vinegar, ginger, a lot of different things. Really good. It really came out well with kind of a fire and ice cucumber salad, kind of some new stuff there. But it's been a good summer. How about yours?
Well, not as exciting as that in terms of cuisine. I mean, I was kind of hoping you'd bring some of that with you to an upcoming program.
Next time.
Yeah.
Hold me to that.
And you're doing the horribly hilly bike ride? That just sounds painful.
It was horrible.
Okay.
I did that, the horribly hilly hundreds. Yeah, that was that. When you're done and people say, how was it? You say it was horrible, and everybody says, fist pump, yeah.
As I always point out, my son who finished an Ironman triathlon said he had to finish it once because he knew if he didn't finish, he'd only have to do it again.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to accept that.
That's right.
Well, I hope that you do have time to continue with your cooking and all the other fun things that go on in your life, and hope you'll join us again next month.
Thanks, Dave. Always a pleasure, and appreciate being on the program.
Well, it's good to have you. The Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Mark Mooney, has been our guest in conversation here on the Chancellor's Report. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Chancellor's Report featuring Mark Mooney, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.